Recently, I've been telling you about Chuck Norris and how he's still kicking butt and staying active well into his 80s. What's his secret? Well, it's called Morning Kick, a revolutionary new daily drink from Roundhouse Provisions that combines ultra-potent greens like spirulina and kale with probiotics, prebiotics, collagen, and even ashwagandha. Just mix with water, stir, and enjoy. What does it taste like? Well, unlike other green drinks that taste about as delicious as freshly mowed grass clippings, this one actually tastes pretty good. Heck, if I can get it down, you can get it down. Just like strawberry lemonade and has hundreds of five-star reviews. Go to roundhouseprovisions.com/Zabe for up to 44% off your regular priced order. Plus, every purchase is backed by a 90-day money-back guarantee. So if you want to experience smoother digestion, a boost of energy, and just an overall healthier body, then go to roundhouseprovisions.com/Zabe today. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. Results can vary.
Make no mistake, Trump-backed Bernie Moreno was a MAGA mistake for black families in Ohio.
We're not going to replace racism in this country from decades ago with a new form of racism, which is what DEI is.
If Bernie Moreno was elected senator, he will support the MAGA playbook and implement the thinly disguised Racist Project 2025 agenda. That means ending diversity, equity, and inclusion programs that exist to correct the impacts of racism. MAGA extremists like Moreno believe programs that have helped our families are entitlement programs, but they have no problem giving their buddies a boost by passing more tax giveaways for rich folks like themselves. Black Americans like me have worked hard and persevered in fighting for a fair shot. We've come too far to let self-serving extremists like Bernie Moreno take us back. That's why we must re-elect Senator Sherrod Brown. He has fought for equal opportunity for black families and will continue to do so. Go to OhioVoterGuide.org and register by October 7th. Paid for by WinSenate, which is responsible for the content of this ad. WinSenate.org, not authorized by any candidate or candidates committee.
Football is back. And so is winning season at MyBookie. NFL, college football, and a brand new cash-out system give you options on how to bet and to win all season long. First two legs of your parlay hit? Great. Get out while the getting is good. Cash out and use the funds on another bet. Or let it ride for the chance at a bigger payday. Use early cash outs as a tool to stay in control of the action at MyBookie. To get started, go to MyBookie.ag now and register for an account for free. When you're ready, make your first deposit. Just use promo code ZABE, Charlie, Zulu, Alpha, Bravo, Echo, and grab a welcome bonus on the house. That's promo code ZABE to claim your deposit bonus. And for a limited time, a free chip to use in the MyBookie casino. You can bet anything, anytime, anywhere, only with MyBookie.
We'd like to award this year's Pulitzer Prize to Mr. X. Unfortunately, we don't know who he is, so his cash award will be used to feed starving children.
No! I'm Mr. X! Gimme!
We'll need some proof.
Ta-da!
He is Mr. X!
Ha! Thank you, folks!
I'll just call myself Mr. X. Yep, you can't go wrong with Mr. X.
Listen to his name.
You've already forgotten the name. I saw your text on that, and I said, who is that guy? I don't even know who that guy is.
Hey, he was the number one running back for Carolina, but he's out a month.
Oh, okay. He was the number one running back.
He still is on the depth chart.
All right. Mr. X is back for another glorious season of the dark art of point spread wagering. Mr. X, how has your long off season been?
Good. There's not an off season. It's been baseball season, but the football season, you know, baseball is, I always want baseball done by Labor Day so that there's no overlap, and I'm ready for football.
Well, you put out your season totals, the legendary vaunted season totals, at the start of the year. Do you bet baseball on a day-to-day basis?
I would like to say no.
You would like to say no.
Yeah, but I'd kind of.
Well, I'd like to say I'm an underwear model too, but that'd be a lie.
I don't do it as much as I used to because I just go hard and heavy on the seasons.
Okay. All right. So how are the season totals you put out back in the spring looking right now?
I am probably gonna go 9-4 or 10-3.
Nice.
But you know, the Orioles are choking dogs the last 2 months, so that could change in a hurry.
Okay, which was your best one? The Orioles you put up on the Orioles shelf?
Orioles over 89.5, I said this year. I liked so much, it was my 1 and 2 pick. and they were tracking over 100 all year, and they've been terrible since July 4. But they're limping home, but I think they'll just make it unless they collapse more.
All right, so what are they at win total right now?
I think they are 80-59. They got to go like 11-13, something like that.
How hard can that be? Said the guy who jinxed someone else's bet by saying something fucking stupid like that. I'm sorry. I take that out of the universe. Don't listen to me, gods.
Well, they're also since July 4th, they're a 500 club. So
yeah. But the Yankees are spitting the bit too.
So don't care about them. I only care about me.
Okay. All right. Let's get to some mop up business. So you heard my shout out on the fantasy football draft order, and as luck would have it, my petulant insistence that we do a live paper draw for draft order so nobody could accuse me of being a cheater ended up with me picking dead fucking last. Even though Charge implored me for the sake of ease and convenience to use the computer system of an automated draw, I said, no. I already sense Mr. X is accusing me of some skullduggery.
No.
So sure enough, I got fucked by the gods and I probably deserve it.
Oh, there's nothing wrong with the – actually, you know, I was teasing with that, of course, because the early pick –
I know you were.
In an 18-team league, picking early is not good, you know.
Picking last didn't feel good either.
That's true. I was there last year. But you know what, Zabe? We all do that thing where you're getting texts in one thread and then you accidentally are probably in a different one. Your whiskey league was going on and on and on about it, and then all of a sudden I got a text from you that said it's done, and I thought you meant the draft order's done, and I looked up and I see Zabe won, and so I was teasing with the crickets.
Right, because
last year Charch was number one, and the year before you were number one, so everybody was just kind of laughing at that.
No, I know. You know, there's always things being chirped behind people's backs on various text threads, while I am aware of it, I keep a very tight, blissful cover to thinking about it because I know the shit that has to be talked about me.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, but you're on that thread. That's not behind back. I wanted you to see it.
Yeah, but you know what, though? I'm sure. Look, there's back channels to back channels text groups, but I understand it as a way of the world. That's all.
Okay, watch this in the ball don't lie category. Okay? In 1 hour, I have another guillotine draft that I do for my VIP customers. I've been doing it 3 or 4 years because everybody loves guillotine leagues.
Yep.
5 minutes before you called, it did the random generation for my 18-team league.
And
guess who drew the 1-1?
You?
I sure did.
Oh, fuck.
And
here we go.
You hate that.
Well, and that's why there needs to be some visualization of fake ping pong balls.
Yeah.
Yeah. Anyway, so so what may I ask the buy-in on your VIP guillotine league? Is it high stakes?
No.
Come on.
No.
What is it?
No. It's for fun. It's $200.
Okay. That's a decent number.
Yeah.
You've entered fantasy leagues for as much as how much money?
Oh, I'm not a big fantasy player. I mean, I played fantasy from 1984 to 2004, and then I quit cold turkey.
Because?
It interfered with gambling.
It interfered with your gambling rooting.
Yeah, right. I find myself, you know, with a large bet on Buffalo, but my quarterback in stupid cheap fantasy was Marino, and I find myself pulling for my fantasy team while I'm losing money, and I just had to quit cold turkey.
Yeah.
I didn't like it tilting my vision of the games. But then guillotine leagues got me back in because it's fun.
All right, couple points you want to lock horns with me on. Why are voters undecided? I said this yesterday with Charch. your...
Actually, you said it with Andy Polk.
Oh, with Andy. Okay, your theory on this.
Well, there are two reasons. You made the statement of elections around the corner. How the hell can you be undecided? And I just thought I'd tell you there are two reasons. Number one, I would call household harmony. Okay?
You don't have to tell your wife or husband who you voted for.
No, right. But when one of them is staunch one wing, the other one will say, I'm undecided.
Oh, you're like when pollsters say, you know.
Yeah, or
we're reporting...
in front of whoever. If the wife's listening, you don't want to, you just for harmony go, well, I'm undecided. That's why people say undecided. And the second reason, what's the second reason? Oh, the second reason is because people say they're undecided, so they try to prove that they're not biased.
Oh, okay.
Like, oh, I haven't decided yet. I'm very fair. Bullshit. You already know what you're doing.
Right. They want to pretend like they're giving it a full civic effort to vet their preferred candidate. Okay.
Yep.
Fair enough. Now, on the kicker front, I suspect you disagree with my take that other than two or three legs in the league, the rest are all the same.
I disagree with how you guys were analyzing the kickers. When you said you went back through the Packer games and how many of the kicks really didn't matter,
right,
et cetera. And I was screaming at the phone, Bill Belichick, do your job. You know, if your job is to kick, don't say, well, I missed them, but we won the game anyway.
Right.
Just like a wide receiver can't drop three balls and say, well, shit, we won by 10 points. It's not my fault. Do your job.
Okay,
and if you miss, you miss.
I now remember you're the guy that claims you can hit a 50-yarder.
No, I did in college. I can't. I probably couldn't hit from 8 yards now.
Okay, fine.
Without a real pulled hamstring. That's
okay.
Sure.
Well, fact of the matter is kickers do miss.
Sure.
One of my listeners went through a deep dive on Butker last year, because remember, Butker was gone for the first couple games because he was hurt.
Yeah.
And their replacement, Scrub, did hit a game winner. He also missed one that was big, that loomed large in one of their early season losses.
Yep.
But also, Butker, despite hitting some big ones, missed one that loomed large in a loss.
Yes.
I don't remember the specifics of it, but
the one
area I will give a nod to is if your team and your coach has confidence in your kicker, a Tucker or a Butker or et cetera, then they will call the game and they will be different on the plus side of the field than they would if they've got a shaky kicker. And that can make a difference.
But being more aggressive because your kicker stinks is often a good way to go.
It is, but aggression can sometimes lead to turnovers. So there's that as well. I don't know.
Sure.
I just think that we'd love to believe that a great kicker makes a huge difference. I am dubious about it mathematically, which is sort of like, I believe in baseball, haven't people tried to analyze clutch hitting, and haven't some stat people say it doesn't exist, the concept of clutch hitting?
Yeah, that's a good point. They used to do that. And you know, all the criteria that you use to define it, you know, nothing is clutch in June. I don't care if it's, you know, it's just, in fact, that's what I do with kickers. I compare them to closers. And the point is, anyone can close in July. I need the guy that can close in October.
Right.
And when there's 50,000 crazy people in Yankee Stadium, I just ask Byung-Young Kim. I mean, you can close in July.
Right.
And then melt in October. And I kind of view kickers the same way. You might be great in practice. You might be great at home in week 3. But, you know, when it's money and the nerve, it's just like, you know, maybe like the 3-foot putt. I mean, it's all about the pressure.
Yeah, you gotta be able to close with your face covered in midges like Jabba Chamberlain in Cleveland that one year when there was that swarm of late summer, early fall insects called midges that just descended upon him on the mound. And it was like, holy shit. You got to keep your head about you in those spots.
Yep. And that's the difference. There was no pressure when I hit that 50-yarder in college on the practice field. Sam.
Right. No pressure, no rush, no snap, nothing at stake. Exactly.
Used a tee, you know.
Yeah, you got to have, you know, I would feel great as a fan if I had a great kicker. And the Packers now have this rookie who they're all high on because he gave a couple great interviews, the Narv dog. And we'll see about him. But Justin Tucker has that swag. He had so much swag that last year he picked up Mahomes' helmet and threw it out of his way when he was warming up kicking. And then they went on to lose. And we're going to be right back on that square on Thursday Night Football to start the season.
Yeah. Hiring with Indeed, your search is over. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Indeed's matching engine leverages over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, constantly learning from your preferences. The more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Zabe. Just go to Indeed.com/Zabe right now and support our show, saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/Zabe. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Moreno is a MAGA mistake for black families. If Moreno is elected senator, he'll push to eliminate diversity, equality, and inclusion programs as part of the racist MAGA Republican Project 2025. We've come too far to let extremists like Bernie Moreno take us back. MAGA Moreno is a mega mistake for Ohio. Register to vote by October 7th at OhioVoterGuide.org and re-elect Senator Sherrod Brown. Paid for by Win Senate, which is responsible for the content of this ad. WinSenate.org, not authorized by any candidate or candidates committee.
Football is back, and so is winning season at MyBookie. NFL, college football, and a brand new cash-out system give you options on how to bet and to win all season long. First two legs of your parlay hit? Great. Get out while the getting is good. Cash out and use the funds on another bet, or let it ride for the chance at a bigger payday. Use early cash outs as a tool to stay in control of the action at MyBookie. To get started, go to MyBookie.ag now and register for an account for free. When you're ready, make your first deposit. Just use promo code ZABE, Charlie, Zulu, Alpha, Bravo, Echo, and grab a welcome bonus on the house. That's promo code ZABE to claim your deposit bonus. And for a limited time, a free chip to use in the MyBookie casino. You can bet anything, anytime, anywhere, only with MyBookie. We are going to pick this year because Mr. X is going to live on this day. He's going to live on Thursdays. We're going to go for a good 30 minutes or a little bit longer. Today is going to be 35-ish at most because you got stuff to do. I got stuff to do. But in the following weeks, we'll go as long as we can, up to an hour. And you're going to pick, and I'm going to pick, the Thursday game as part of our season-long how we doing with the record. I wrestled with this about, okay, where should Mr. X live? Should he live on Fridays, not on Fridays? What about picking games? You obviously, as a guy who handicaps seriously, you're waiting until Sunday morning. So even a Friday pick is not a very fresh piece of produce. So a Thursday pick, and we would often record Thursday morning so I could get on with my weekend and enjoy the game at night. It's just too fucking early. So we decided that this is going to be the day, and that's fine by me. And you said, well, let me just go ahead and I'll pick the Thursday game on your podcast, because that's closer to happening than the weekend.
Sure. Well, I will tell you also, I mean, yes, most of the good gambling information you get in the last 24 hours, and it never makes me pick a game, but it makes me quit a game or feel better about a game. But the biggest thing for me is, Zabe, Tuesday through Thursday, I'm watching every game over again. So a lot of times maybe I make a pick with you early in the week and it's not like, oh, it's not my real pick. But then I end up watching the footage and changing my mind.
Yeah.
So I'll make sure this year that I watch the Thursday night teams first so we're ready to rock.
So as I thought about this before, I was driving back from the golf course today and I was like, okay, Mr. X tonight, Mr. X. I'm like, I should go over some of the well-known sayings that you and I have had over the years, and that – such as, whenever I think there's something unusual or unique and I muse out loud without knowing the number, man, that is, wow, what a stat that is. I wonder how many times a team wins a game in which they've got a stat like that, and the answer is usually
pretty close to 50.
50-50. Every bet you make is a dumb one until it comes home and wins, and then it's a smart one. That's another one right there. Don't shoot yourself in the foot coming out of the gate early in the season. Take it slow. Unless you're red hot coming out of the gate and you're betting piddling amounts, and then you are pissed off going, I can't believe I wasn't betting my normal amounts. I'd be way up for the year right now.
And you know what? Each of the last 2 years, I've urged that. I don't like to go big in September. And each of the last 2 years, September was by far the best month.
Right.
And I always say, it's okay to win less.
Yeah, it's okay to win less. Right, exactly. Then there is the notion of the public basically always loses. Basically. Kevin Sheehan, our friend, likes to go with the smell test, go against the public money. But the problem that we have tried to educate people on here, and it was new to me, but I think I've finally gotten the concept, you can't just look at what percentage of the money is on one side of a game. These are numbers that are readily available, now published by a bunch of different sites. Because think about money as both gumballs and marbles in a jar, in a big mason jar. And there's two jars, one for, say, the Chiefs, one for the Ravens. And one jar is almost filled with what looks like all the same thing, but half of them might be marbles, the other half are gumballs, but they look the same. That's the difference between the sharp money and the public money. It takes more discernment, right, Mr. X, to know, okay, there's a lot of money on this team, but how much sharp money is over there, meaning the marbles, and how much of it is the public money, which is gumballs?
There's 2 points in there. Number one is more and more and more sites think they're giving out info, sharp money.
But do they know?
I don't know that I buy into the fact that the house really wants to help you that much. I just don't buy that.
Right. And I would say that the sharp money knows ways to disguise itself and flow into those different jars in a more unrecognizable fashion.
And that's why the online books, I don't believe, when they're just throwing the data around, because the theory is the more data you have, the more you're likely to gamble. Okay, so here's some data, you know, come on.
Right.
But it's the casino's job to know the players. And the misnomer in there, I was going to say, the second point is a lot of people think, oh, look at the volume of money on this team, as if smart bettors are bigger bettors, and that's just not true. There's a lot of real stupid bettors that have a lot of money.
Right.
And there's, you know, I was a better bettor when I didn't have any money than I am today, because it matters so much more. I mean, the website makes me stay focused because I'm focusing on everybody else's money. But my personal life, you know, you don't have to have more money to be smarter.
Well,
it just isn't true. I don't think.
You're retired with a boat and probably another boat coming. By the way, how is Don't Tell Mom?
Don't Tell Mom's doing good. I replaced all the seats this year, so did some upgrades. And it is funny, when the boys were all four of them were up here visiting, nobody ever says in my family, how's the boat? They say, how's the Don't Tell Mom running?
Yes, how's the Don't Tell Mom running? Yeah.
Yep.
All right, let's get into this week. Let's start with the NCAA. Week one is in the books, and I get people all the time going, is this a rover and over? And I'm like, go to callmemrx.com. Get a hold of him. Like, I vaguely keep track of it. Have we had any of your vaunted rover and overs where you bet the underdog and you bet the over, and there is a good chance that at worst it's going to go 1-1.
Right. Yeah, the theory behind that quickly is you just can't go 0-2 very often, because you're asking somebody to win by over 50 points but not get to 60 total. It's just a real tiny window, which is why we go the other way. Of course, there was a lot this weekend. We lost one. We did go 0-2 on Missouri. those dirtbags kicked a field goal on the last play to go push it from 48-0 to 51-0.
On the last play.
Well, the last play, but it was the last minute, and they kicked it to cover. They were laying 48-49, and they were up 48-0. So I do believe those coaches know the alumni is on their team. I'm sorry. I do believe it. And you make the alumni happy, and you get NIL money when you kick that field goal.
God, yeah, that's an interesting point I haven't thought about.
I've always thought that.
Wasn't there a kerfuffle in the Rutgers game over a late score?
We hit that one.
Okay, lay that one out for people, and then I want to remind people, Greg Schiano's back at Rutgers. He's the asshole that was blowing up kneel-down plays in his brief failed tenure as a Buccaneers coach.
Yeah, he Rutgers, what they have, Howard. Early on Thursday.
Yep.
And that was a rover and over. We took Howard plus, you don't care the number, Howard plus a ton.
Right.
And the over. And
what happened at the end of the game with the total teetering right on the brink?
Well, what happened was, you know, we had clinched the 1-1 early because Howard had scored. And in most of these games, you just need one score and you're good. Now you're either 1-1 or 2-0, and that's a relief. But when it got to the end, we needed like 5 points to hit the over, but 7 and Rutgers would have covered. So I don't know what I'm pulling for because we're going to go 1-1 either way.
Okay.
Well, on the last play of the game, they ran in an 11-yard touchdown and then went
Who's
to the locker room without the Rutgers.
Okay.
Went to the locker room with no extra point.
Because that's the
rule? The extra point would have put it over.
But that's the rule. The rule is you don't have to kick the extra point when you score at zeros and the game is not in balance.
I guess. I mean, the NFL changed that a few years back because they used to have to pull people out of the locker room and make them kick an extra point for gambling purposes.
Oh, my God.
So the fact that they got 6 and not 7 on the – I mean, if they'd scored with 1 second left, we lose. But they scored on the last play, so it hit the middle, rover and over. It was nice. There was one other one that hit, too. We hit 2 on the weekend.
Now, that is a thrill when you hit a rover and over
on
a last-second touchdown without the extra point being the difference.
On Thursday. On Thursday. Now you know you're going to have a lucky weekend.
2.5 trap went 3-1. The 2.5 trap, for new listeners, is simply this. When the line opens 2.5, meaning just within the margin of a field goal, the house, or Vegas, if you will, wants you to bet the favorite minus 2.5 because it seems like, perfect. Field goal to win it, and I'm a winner. But you got to watch the 2.5 because it has to open at 2.5 and stay at 2.5 like a rock for it to be a true 2.5 trap. It can't start 3.5 and then sink to 2.5.
Exactly.
Or vice versa. Okay. So the 2.5 trap went 3-1. Good. Good
and
start
by
there.
The way, when you bet that underdog catching two, you don't take the 2.5, you bet them outright to win on the money line because they're going to win the game. And 3 out of 4 worked this week. It was what? Notre Dame. It was. Who was the other one? Notre Dame, Eastern Michigan.
Yep.
And
somebody else. Doesn't matter.
Somebody else. Okay.
Doesn't matter.
3 of them won. And Florida, of course, just barely didn't cover by about 100. I forget what they lost by.
All right. Let's talk about the announcers and the refs. You have this bolded in your rundown.
Yeah. You know, I was thinking about you this weekend when I'm sitting here with multiple absolute dog shit college games all over the place with all the rovers and with all these crazy point spreads. And I was thinking, you know, back in the day, these games weren't on TV. And if they were, it was the local television station with some local announcers and who cares?
Yeah.
Now every game's on TV. So you got 100 sets of announcers. You got 100 sets of officials because there was about 100 games this weekend. And by the way, it seemed like
Hold on. 100? Is that right? How many? Now, we're just talking Division One or Division One and Division One AA, which they want you to call FCS and FBS, but people can't fucking remember that. So just call it 1 and 1A, 1AA. I think there's up to 143 1A programs now. Yeah, there you go. 134 Division 1A programs. So okay. When you mix in some of the 1AAs that played the 1As, then I guess you're right. We're getting close to 100 different sets.
I got 95 because I had the favorite. It seemed I was looking at this because the favorites were just crushing all over the weekend, just huge numbers. I looked at it. And Zabe, what percent of the favorites do you think won this weekend?
I'd say it's about 50-50. There you go.
The favorites went 46-49, roughly.
God damn. Okay. Vegas is good, aren't they? They're good.
And it especially gets me on these horrible games where somebody's laying 58. And all weekend they were winning by 57, 59. I'm like, man, it's one thing to handicap, you know, Bama and Georgia, but how they handicap Stony Brook and whatever and get them close, I just don't get that.
Is there what I would call a unified card each week that has every 1A and or 1AA game you can bet on?
Sure. It's called the Vegas Rotation.
How many games typically is in a college football weekend card?
I can't say I've thought about that before, but you're right that the reason there's so many this weekend is because so many 1A teams are playing Alabama State Central
or
whatever.
So once this settles down, it'll be about a 70 team. It'll be about a 70 game ticket, give or take.
Exactly.
Okay.
Probably.
All right. some sicko should bet all 70 every week for a small amount just to see how they do betting every college game.
You want to go halves on that with me?
No, because I bet we'll go about 50-50 and lose 10% of the VIG, and it'll just annoy us having to pick all these shitty games.
Yeah. Well, and so my point was, watching a lot of, you know, obscure games, it occurred to me there's really bad announcer teams.
Oh,
you know, we love to make fun of the best teams on NFL Sunday or the big games, and you talk about who's Tirico's great. Some of these guys, it was so bad. I wrote down a couple of quotes from I don't even know what game. I like this one. They were down 13 with 27 seconds left, 4th and 15, and he says, 27 seconds left. He says, if they don't convert here, it's almost over. Serious?
Yeah, almost over. Thanks for that. Well, these are kids.
You convert this, it's over.
I know. Hey, these are kids right out of Syracuse and Northwestern.
Yeah.
And they got good hair and a decent voice, and they might know somebody, and they're getting their shot calling these games.
Yeah.
And they all have Joe Buck dreams.
And,
in their heads.
The one who was fingernails on a chalkboard to me is not that low on the totem pole.
No.
The dude named Acho.
Oh, Emmanuel Acho?
Yeah. Is he the brother of the dude we see all over ESPN? I think it's spelled the same. I guess the brothers. I don't know.
I forget. He does Sam Acho. Sam Acho is Emmanuel Acho's older brother. He's currently a college football analyst for ESPN. Or no, I'm sorry. Emmanuel's the analyst. Sam is his older brother. And I don't think Sam Acho is not doing anything. So it's only Emmanuel that's doing the games. Emmanuel's bad, but
no, there's another one.
No, Sam. Sam is his older brother, and he's not in broadcasting. Emmanuel is the broadcaster.
Okay, who's the one that does ESPN shows?
Emmanuel.
Okay, no, there was another one doing the games.
Oh, well, maybe Sam Acho is doing it.
He was doing a small game. I think it was one of the Rover games. It was the game I bet on. It might have been Missouri. I don't know. I don't remember. And he does these. They do the takes. You must be Acho mine.
Yeah, okay, right. No, he is a guy for ESPN. Emmanuel might be on FS1.
I don't know. Anyway, either way, he was god-awful. Whatever, he was god-awful. He drove me nuts all day, saying the most stupid, obvious things. And the other part of it is, you know, we all talk about referees when they blow big calls and how do they miss it. You start watching those games, these guys, it's not about missing calls. They have to huddle on everything. They don't even, okay, now wait, what's the rule again? They were horrible. And you're watching these games that are 50-7 and they're huddling because they can't remember, okay, what do we do on this? And it's like, you know, if you're referee crew number 83, you're really bad.
Yeah. Well, I mean, look, that this is the thing. These referees, they work their ass off. I've got a loyal former collegiate referee, Ron Taylor, who emails me from time to time, and I've had him on the show before. Yeah. Great guy, and the work these guys put into it is insane. The hours they drive on the road, do low-level college football just to try to get a leg up to someday make it to the show. And every week they're paired together with a crew that is not the strongest crew. You know, some guys are good, some guys suck. And the game is complicated, fast-moving, everything else. But did you hear about the replay snafu in the Sun Belt Conference?
I don't think so.
The Sun Belt admitted Tuesday that Arkansas State's winning touchdown catch against FCS opponent Central Arkansas should not have counted, even though it went to the replay review center and overturned the call on the field. Whoops, replay got it wrong again.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, no, it was – I guess it just hit me harder than ever watching so many obscure games because, you know – maybe that game's not as important as, Notre Dame and whoever they just beat.
A&M.
But you know what?
Yeah, I was just saying, but if those games may not be big games, but they are when you bet on them.
Yeah. The worst announcer is Mark Jones by far. Mark Jones calling the Colorado game. His full throating service of Deion Sanders was so bad. And so many people pointed it out on social media. I thought I was kind of like, God damn, Mark Jones, get your nuts out of his mouth. I mean, come on, be fair at least. But then I read the reactions on social media and people were like, Guantanamo Bay should play a Mark Jones calling a Colorado game with Deion on a loop as torture. So it's that bad. All right, so let's get to the NFL. I tried to dig into the over-unders on totals. And I said this with the boys last week with Scott and Solly. I said, I can't do it because they're all weighted in ways that I don't understand mathematically. And so I have a hard time going, oh, look, the Giants are 6.5. That's a great bet or a stupid bet. Do you have any thoughts on betting, actually putting your own money on over-unders in football?
Oh, yeah, of course we do that. That's, you know, but what you're getting at is maybe it's not as intuitive, I'm just going to call it, how well I have to do if I'm laying 150 or 160 odds instead of a 110. You don't have 50-50 is suddenly not very good, obviously.
Right.
Now you get to the point where you're going to win more often and lose money because you're laying a big number. Obviously, I like to be on the other side of those and be on the plus sides, but you know, there's a reason why they're trying to tilt you onto one side. So
is there any rule about, let's say people wake up and they're like, all right, the season begins tonight. I want to get an over-under bet on a couple of teams. Let me go shopping. Is there a rule that says, from your standpoint, never bet a total that's more than, say, minus 130 in terms of VIG? Or do you say, look, if you really like it, pay the premium?
I would not let the juice take me off of what I think is going to win. Cause as I say, you only pay the juice when you lose. So I know what I'm winning.
Right.
Which is, you know, the one, but you get up over for totals, I'd have a hard time laying any more than about 160.
Okay.
But I better feel pretty strongly about the play.
Fair enough. All right. What about MVP wagering? Do you like MVP wagering?
I actually don't like the MVP because it's a vote.
Yeah.
I prefer to go with props that are, you know, not a vote.
Right.
But I'll bet anything if it's right. You want my prop of the year? I'll give you
one. Yeah, let's go ahead. Prop of the year in the NFL.
I took
the passing yards leader to be Jared Goff.
Ooh.
Okay. At 10-1.
Nice.
And I'll make a simple point that we all know who Goff is and that great offense, and he can't play worth a darn in poor weather. They have 14 dome games out of 17 this year. 14 out of 17. Either domes or a retractable dome.
Right.
That is a lot of good weather games, and I'll take him to gobble up some stats.
All right, very good. On the MVP front, since Tom Brady won it in 2007, there have only been two non-quarterbacks win season-long MVP. Do you know who those two guys are?
Let's see. I do not.
Actually,
Adrian Peterson.
Ding. That's one. And I should say, excuse me, the year before Brady won it, LaDainian Tomlinson won MVP.
I wouldn't have got that. That's
I know. Sean Alexander won it in 05. So let me tell you, kids, of a day and age in which running backs were super important, franchise running backs, and teams would run their way to success and glory in the National Football League, those days are gone.
Yeah, and now they're just like those kickers.
All right, let's go ahead and dig into the game and put a wrap on it this week. Ravens and Chiefs, run it back from the AFC Championship game on Thursday night in Kansas City to open the NFL season. Line is?
Chiefs are 3 at home.
Okay. Well, what do you think?
Want me to pick first?
Yes.
Okay, I'll go first. I was so all over the Ravens all last year, had them in the Super Bowl from August. That was one of the most bitter losses ever, that Chiefs game, when, for reasons nobody ever explained, Jim Harbaugh decided, you know, we're the best running team in the league. Let's try to win without running. And I was looking at that box score today. They ran the ball 6 times, and I'm not counting, you know, scrambles. They ran 6 times.
Yeah.
And they were successful. It was the craziest game plan in history. I hate that team now. But you know what this comes down to is you don't beat Mahomes and Reed when it counts. I don't know that this counts. I'll take the Ravens plus 3.
Yeah, I'm on the Ravens too, and I'm sorry for doing that because you never like me jumping on your back. But and maybe this is just a bit of Chiefs fatigue, but people are quick to forget they didn't blaze through the regular season.
Oh, no.
They went on an incredible run from deep in the bracket against all odds and all weather, 0-degree temps at home against the Dolphins, a blizzard that forced the game to be delayed in Buffalo. And they kind of caught two teams in Buffalo and in Baltimore who get spooked by them, who have it in their head against them. And so I'm not trying to take anything away from the Chiefs.
Sounds like you are.
No, I'm not taking it away. I'm just analyzing the big picture. I think fully healthy, out of the gates, finally, John Harbaugh, the more sensible, more ethical of the Harbaughs, has his day with a solid, outright win where people are going to be pimping the dirty crows. Ravens plus the 3.
You know, the Chiefs were, it looked like their era was over, you know, in the early second half of that season, but they sure finished down the stretch swiftly.
Total in the game is what?
47.
Okay. I love going under early on because I think defenses are at their freshest, least depleted. So my general theory is under early on. And that was seen in the USC-LSU game where everyone bet the over, and those two teams just knocked heads all night long.
Yeah, that is all good, too. I also will take the under. And it's interesting that, you know, everybody knows that the unders are good picks early in the year. It's a shame those guys setting the lines don't know as much as we do.
Funny how that is. And you know what? It's like the home team and the over. The home team favorite and the over is the standard bettors combo meal for a Thursday or a Monday sure. night game. I think us taking the road team dog and the under is okay. the equivalent of ordering a McSalad and some apple slices with a cup of water at McDonald's. Ick. It doesn't taste good, but it's probably going to be good for us. There's our picks. For more of Mr. X, just go to his website, callmemrx.com. You can follow you on Twitter at
just call me Mr. X. You had mentioned you wanted to do one prop each game. Do you still want to do that?
We could do a prop. Well, but I haven't studied the props, so let's start the props next week.
Can I give you mine?
Yeah.
I did a lot of work.
Okay, sorry. Yes, go ahead. What's your prop for the week?
In Zabe fashion, I'm going to give it a name. It's the king is dead. I'm going against King Henry. I'm taking Derrick Henry's longest run to be under 15.5
Ooh.
Yards.
Ooh, okay. Yeah, that's a big number for long runs.
It's hard. Chiefs are a good run defense. Yeah.
It's hard to run
for
15 yards.
Like, yeah. I don't think he's going to get the carries everybody thinks he's going to get.
Okay. Well, you know, as we like to say, only bet as much as you can afford to win. And the other saying we like to say to close out every visit is, what was the other saying we had?
Winning is nice.
Getting paid
even nicer.
All right, good luck on your second Guillotine League draft, Mr. X, and we'll talk next week.
Sounds good. See you.
Make no mistake, Trump-backed Bernie Moreno was a MAGA mistake for black families in Ohio.
We're not going to replace racism in this country from decades ago with a new form of racism, which is what DEI is.
If Bernie Moreno is elected senator, he will support the MAGA playbook and implement the thinly disguised racist Project 2025 agenda. That means ending diversity, equity, and inclusion programs that exist to correct the impacts of racism. MAGA extremists like Moreno believe programs that have helped our families are entitlement programs, but they have no problem giving their buddies a boost by passing more tax giveaways for rich folks like themselves. Black Americans like me have worked hard and persevered in fighting for a fair shot. We've come too far to let self-serving extremists like Bernie Moreno take us back. That's why we must re-elect Senator Sherrod Brown. He has fought for equal opportunity for black families and will continue to do so. Go to OhioVoterGuide.org and register by October 7th. Paid for by WinSenate, which is responsible for the content of this ad. WinSenate.org, not authorized by any candidate or candidates committee.
Football is back. And so is winning season at MyBookie. NFL, college football, and a brand new cash-out system give you options on how to bet and to win all season long. First two legs of your parlay hit? Great. Get out while the getting is good. Cash out and use the funds on another bet. Or let it ride for the chance at a bigger payday. Use early cash outs as a tool to stay in control of the action at MyBookie. To get started, go to MyBookie.ag now and register for an account for free. When you're ready, make your first deposit. Just use promo code ZABE, Charlie, Zulu, Alpha, Bravo, Echo, and grab a welcome bonus on the house. That's promo code ZABE to claim your deposit bonus. And for a limited time, a free chip to use in the MyBookie casino. You can bet anything, anytime, anywhere, only with MyBookie.